I Faith 71, The Female Joshua. I'll explain that title soon. But just to set the context and to remind us where we are, as we go through the Bible in sections, our current section is Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. Joshua is the book where Israel finally, after all the wandering, goes into the promised land. There are battles in the south, and there's a northern campaign, and then there's the division of the land and a final call to faithfulness. In our previous iFaith message, we looked at only three verses in Joshua 5. Joshua is preparing for Jericho, and an unknown figure appears to him. It turns out to be an angelic kind of figure, the commander of the army of the Lord. And Joshua falls down, he takes off his shoes, and I guess he's making sure God is in the center of the frame. I feel inspired and challenged by that passage. I thought it would be a good introduction. But today, we're actually looking at the time when Jericho was conquered. The focus is not on Joshua. And this is surprising. We might expect it would be on a male figure, because we are expecting fighting. However, the hero turns out to be a woman of faith, a very unlikely woman of faith. I was asked a few months ago to preach from Joshua 6 for a church in London, which is just down the road, 10-hour drive south. And they said, cover Joshua 6. That's fine. Someone else will presumably be doing Joshua 7. So the next week, I'm prepared. And what did I find? But it seemed that the spotlight was increasingly on this woman, on Rahab, not General Joshua, not the commander. And so I ended up titling it because, you know, when she was attracted to the faith of the God of Israel, she had been a harlot. She had been a prostitute. Seemingly very unlikely candidate. And anyway, I titled that sermon, God's Wayward People and the Faith of a Harlot, because we have a lot to learn from her, not just in the Old Testament, but even in the New. Well, let's jump in. Joshua 2. Joshua, son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, go, view the land, especially Jericho. And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab, and lodged there. Just hold on. Why a prostitute's house? It was a safe place. It was a place where they could be relatively incognito. And as we'll read in a moment, her house was built right up to the city wall. The external city wall of Jericho was the external wall of her home. And she had a window which you could escape from, and that would be handy. At any rate, they went there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. And the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, bring out the men who've come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, true, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out, and I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But, actually, Rahab had brought them up to the roof, and she had hid them with stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan, as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Basically, Rahab misdirects them. She lies. And people will often ask, is this an approved example for lying? Is lying actually not a sin? We're not going to get distracted with that right now. The point is not about the morality of lying or misdirecting the pursuers. The point's not even that before she came to faith, she was known as a prostitute. The point is her faith. And Rahab took a huge risk, a huge one. If it had been discovered what she had done, hiding the spies upstairs, then almost certainly she would have been executed. Faith does that, though. Faith takes risks. And so even at this early point of the message, I would ask, what are the risks that we're taking? Are we playing it safe all the time? Are we so careful, cautious, and conservative that we're not seeing what God wants us to do? Are we missing the adventure? Well, this was a scary adventure for Rahab. Now notice, she twice said to the king's men, I did not know, I do not know. She says, I don't know. Now, listen to the wording. These accounts are very simple, but you can pick up on common words, common themes that are repeated. Listen to this. So before the men lay down, Rahab came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the Red Sea. So here, she's not professing ignorance. She's saying, we've heard, and in response, we know. At least some of us know this is the real God, and we're scared. No, it's not, I don't know. Now it's, I do know. She's making a profession of faith. Before you, when you came out of Egypt, what you did to the kings of the Amorites beyond the Jordan and so forth. And then she begs, she says, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house and give me a sign. So she says, listen, I'm protecting you. When you come to Jericho, when the attack begins, please save my family. Rahab is not just looking after herself, she's looking after her family. And then we read in a moment, she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, go into the hills, and so forth, now, when she's misdirecting. Archaeologists have found many examples of this, where homes are built right up to the wall, where in effect the wall is the wall of the home. Sometimes there'd be a double wall, and there could be living space between the two walls. My wife and I once stayed in a B&B, a bed and breakfast, around the English-Scottish border, where the wall, the back wall of our room, was actually part of Hadrian's Wall, the structure built in the second century, dividing the north from the south. At any rate, Rahab makes a confession of faith. She saves her family, and this shows us that some of the Canaanites were responsive. Now, true, society was much more sinful than it had been, say, in the time of Abraham. And Genesis 15 tells us that the sin of the people had not reached its full measure. But even though it's ripe, it's time for judgment, there's still exceptions. So Rahab lets them out through a window. Jericho has now closed its gate. So you can see her receptivity, and then you can see the closed-mindedness of the king of Jericho and the inhabitants. We read now, and now I've jumped into chapter 6. Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. So there you have it. Jericho's closed. Rahab is open. The Lord said to Joshua, I've given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. March around the city, all of the men of war going around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. And on the seventh day, as you may know the story, they rose up early and they marched around the city 7 times. And they gave the shout and the walls fall in. And Israel goes straight in. And their top priority as they enter is, let's protect Rahab. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua had sent to spy out Jericho. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was in all the land. Right, but there seem to be more verses actually given to her, the female Joshua, so to speak. This is such an amazing scene. The Lord does all the heavy lifting. Now, this reminds me of the parting of the Red Sea, which is the downfall of the pursuing Egyptians. It reminds me of the battle of Gideon in Judges 7 or 2 Chronicles 20. The Lord does the heavy lifting. As for Rahab, she's saved, she's spared, and in essence, she becomes a covenant daughter of God. Now, in a few chapters in Joshua, there'll be another Canaanite group who will join God's people. And this certainly shows us that the limited holy war God authorized against the Canaanites was more nuanced than some people might think. It wasn't just destroy everybody. In fact, probably most weren't destroyed. Most were simply displaced. Some actually joined Israel. In all of this, God was completely fair. And in none of this do we find warrant today for invading and killing, because there is no state. There's no state that is God's people. We're scattered among the various states of the world. Rahab contrasts strongly with the character you'll meet in the next chapter. In Joshua 7, you have Achan. Achan doesn't save his family like Rahab. He basically condemns them. He loses them in his sin. Achan takes a big risk also, but it's a stupid risk, and it will cost him his life and the lives of many other Israelites. In fact, after Achan's sin, the rest of the book of Joshua just doesn't feel the same. Well, I mentioned that Rahab is also noticed in the New Testament. We read in Hebrews 11, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. Interestingly, no mention of Joshua. "By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient." So there you have, in Hebrews 11, the so-called Hall of Fame of faith, many of the Old Testament notables are there. A number of them are absent, but Rahab's mentioned, even though Joshua is not. She's even more important in other parts of the New Testament. This woman, who was a prostitute, a Canaanite, let's say triply despised, women were not treated with honor as they should have been. She had her background with the prostitution, plus being a foreigner, a Canaanite. But she becomes an ancestor of Jesus Christ, Matthew 1:5. Many Jews believe that she actually ended up marrying Joshua. It's possible that she was the husband, Joshua's wife. But there's another Canaanite woman of faith that we come across in Mark 7 and also in Matthew 15, the Canaanite woman, or the faith of the Syrophoenician woman. So we see another Rahab in the New Testament. Okay, what are you supposed to do with this? There's some action challenges. Firstly, of course, faith must translate into action. Joshua was a man of faith and vision, like his associate Caleb, two of the original 12 spies. All the others entered the promised land faithlessly, and that was part of Israel's delay. A delay that lasted decades. But Joshua is a man of action. Rahab is a woman of action. And you could see Rahab, in a sense, as Joshua's counterpart. What should we do? How about take a risk today? Speak up. Say something that has been on your heart that you need to express. Open up if there's something that you've concealed that needs to be open. And share with someone you trust. Speak out. Sometimes silence is prudent. Other times silence is wrong. Reach out. Don't just be huddled. Don't just hide inside, but reach out. Speak up. Open up. Speak out. Reach out. And also, be slow to write anyone off. That is, to give up and say, well, that person would not be interested. God sees the heart. So let's keep our eyes open. Let's be humble. Let's look at what God is doing in the world. In our next talk, we'll be going into the book of Judges. Thank you for listening to iFaith 71.